So in the last lesson, we learned about the biblical doctrine and practice of submission, which is the wife's role in the marriage relationship. And the points in this lesson are going to be very similar. The big difference is that we're going to deal with the husband's role in the marriage. And those of us who have been married for a few years could probably write a very long list of rules for wedded life, right? I mean, you know, give me a list that will help somebody, you know, or give me a list of what someone should do in who's just about to get married. And we could probably come up with a long, long, long list. But that's not how God deals with the subject. Rather, he gives one basic rule for the wife. And what is that rule? Submit. And he gives one rule for the husband. What is that husband? What is that rule? Love. And I think on both ends, we've failed. And on both ends, we've complicated things, you know, and where God tends to make it a little bit easier. So open your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at all the same passages we looked at last week, with the exception we'll be looking at the husband's role. And the first point in our outline this morning is, husband, love your wife. So, as we have seen, the Bible commands wives to submit themselves to their husbands, and one would expect, okay, if the wife is supposed to submit to the husband, one would expect the next verse to say, and husbands, be sure you command your wife, right? If she's supposed to submit, you need to command. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And friends, this is a command. This is not a suggestion, but this is a command from God. And the Bible teaches that love is something that we choose to do. Okay, love is a choice. Love is an action. And in the Bible, marriage is to be a lifelong covenant, as we've already seen, between a man and a woman. And the two parties are to make it work by obeying God's instructions. So how do we make this marriage work? How do we make this marriage to be what it's God intended it to be, a picture of Christ in the church, by wives submitting and by husbands loving? And when you do that, it works, okay? Is it perfect? Looks like we got another. How many of you did not go to bed an hour early last night? Okay, so that explains some things. So, all right. So if we do it God's way, it works. But it doesn't mean it's easy. And I don't want you to think that this is easy. Sandy and I just celebrated our 39th wedding anniversary in February, and still learning something new every day. You know, and you know, it's difficult. But look at verse 26. There's an illustration here. It's, of course, husbands, love your wife, verse 25, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So, how should men love their wives? Okay? Notice, husbands, love your wives, even as who? Christ loved the church. So there's the example. There's the illustration. And what did he do? He loved the church. He gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify it, that he might set it apart, that he might cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And this is a tall order to love our wives like Jesus loved the church. And you know, think about that sacrificial spirit that Christ had. And think about that sacrificial spirit that he showed when he died for his church. Verse 26 to 28 says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Excuse me. So Christ's purpose is to make his bride beautiful. The Lord saved us, and the Lord, if we think about Christ and the church first, why did the Lord save us? Yes, we were sinners. Yes, we deserved God's wrath. But why did he save us? He saved us so that he could give us also, we are given his righteousness, right? He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So one of the reasons that Christ saved us was not only to save us from our sins, not only to give us eternal life, but to change us, to make his bride beautiful. The constant assurance of a husband's love and leadership that he gives to his home is to enable his wife to be her best. Okay? Better than before you married her. Think about that. Is your wife better today than when you married her? If not, we are failing them. His leadership can corrode her, or his leadership can conduct her into holiness. And you know, a lot of times the failure of marriages and the failure of what God intends for a marriage is because the husband doesn't lead. And that is our goal, to love, not just to love, but to love as Christ loved. Okay? That's not easy. That's not easy. Any questions up to this point? Comments? Thoughts? All right. Look at verse 28 again. So ought men to love their own wives as their own bodies? He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So, guys, we are to cherish our wives like we cherish our own flesh. When you hear that word cherish, what do you think of? We're awful quiet. What do we think of when you hear the word cherish? Okay, holding something above everything else. It's special, right? It's special. You know, we like to give our flesh, I'm talking to the guys now, we like to give our flesh a good hot and hearty meal. Right, we like to give our flesh a rest in our comfortable recliner. We like to give our flesh a periodic nap. We like to give our flesh, we buy something, we go off to the tackle shop, and maybe you buy the latest pole or trolling motor or lure, or maybe we go to the gun shop and buy couple thousand rounds of ammo, or a new gun. You know, we treat our flesh good, don't we, guys? You know, and you know, it doesn't matter if we live in a cave, but boy, we got a well stocked cave. You know, and think about how we cherish ourselves. We need to cherish our wives just like we cherish ourselves. And so, again, this takes us back. We're to love our wives like Christ loved the church, and we're to give of ourselves to our wives. We're to think of our wives first. We're to love them and show that love. You have to remember, you know, that the text says and other verses say that when we're married to our wives, we become what? One flesh. And so if I know how good I treat myself, do I treat my wife that good? You know, and that's what we need to do. We need to treat them. You know, do we treat our wives with the same kindness that we treat ourselves? Ephesians 5:33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." So this verse stresses the side-by-side duties of the husband and wife, okay? Husband, love your wife, and wife, love your wife as yourself, and wife, see that she reverence or respects or submits to her husband. So this is the basic, easy formula for a marriage. Not always easy to do, but it's a very easy formula. Who doesn't understand wives submit to your husband? And who doesn't understand husbands love your wife? Right? Very easy to understand, but it's not easy to do because we're selfish. And, but this is God's formula. And always remember the example of Christ. And always remember the example of Christ and his church. So husband, you remember the example of the sacrificial love that Christ has for the church. You remember that in your wife, for your wife. And wife, you remember how the church is to submit to Christ. And that's how, you know, he's the head of the home, so you submit. All right? We're going to look at another passage in a moment. Any questions on the Ephesians 5 passage? We got it. We're doing it, right? Andy? Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, what does it mean to revere something? You know, the root of reverence is revere. What does that mean? You revere something. Reverence. I think it carries the idea of respect. It carries the idea of knowing and honoring his position in the home, and the idea of therefore then coming under his leadership. You know, that would be that. Let me see here. I'm not looking at my, I'm looking at my phone, but I'm looking at a Greek word here. So, it carries that idea of respect and honor. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yes. And also it talks here about being in awe of him. Okay? You know, being in awe. So, you know, that doesn't mean like, you know, well, my wife can't say this of me anymore. Ooh, look at that handsome guy, you know, but it's being in awe. Just as we would be in awe of Christ and what he did for us, the wife should be in awe of the position that God has placed him, okay? That God has placed him. So, you know, so it's a, again, remember that this is not a, we're going to see in a moment, this is not a, that the husband lords this over. It's a side-by-side relationship. We're both equal in Christ. We're going to see that in a moment, but in the marriage relationship, there is an order that God has ordained from the very beginning. Okay, so respect that, revere that, be in awe of that. And husbands, love your wives. Okay? Loving leaders are much different than dictators, you know, and ruling the... You can say, you know, you can say to your kids, why do I have to do that? Because I said so. You know, I heard that. I can't tell you how many times I heard that when I was growing up. You know, but that's not the way you lead your wife. You know, why should I do that? Because I said so. You know, that's not the way. So, all right. Anything else? All right, turn to Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 3. Verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Okay? Husbands, don't be bitter toward your wife. The word bitter here in the Greek means being cross, being harsh, being abrasive, being sharp, being cutting. Don't talk to your wife like you talk to the guys on the job, okay? You know, maybe somebody makes a mistake on the job and you're able to say, you big dummy. You know, don't talk that way to your wife. Don't be bitter against her. You know, don't call her honey, but then treat her like vinegar. You know what I'm saying? You know, don't make her bitter. Bitterness doesn't only require harsh words. It can be the tone of your voice. It's not, I used to tell my boys this all the time. It's not what you say only, but it's what? How you say it. Because, you know, a lot of times, hey, go do that. Yeah, all right. Okay. What's up with that? You know? Well, what do you mean? Should I do it? Well, you know, it's not what you say, it's how you say. My father used to go so far to say to me, boy, when he called me boy, I was in trouble. Boy, this is what he'd say. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Ooh, so it's even a look, right? A look can portray bitterness. So we have to be real careful. Don't be bitter against them. You know, and be careful how you talk to your wife. Your wife is not one of the guys. Your wife is the guy, is your wife, not the guy, you know. And don't talk to her that way, you know. I'm not saying that, you know, we should always treat some of the guys like we do, but nonetheless, you know, I know when Andrew and I and Bill are together, and when Pastor Nate was here, you know, a lot of times we, you know, get on each other, and sometimes, you know, you can talk to a guy, you can smack him in the back of the head, and don't do that. That's making her bitter, you know. You could smack your kids in the back of the head, don't smack your wife in the back of the head, you know. So, all right? Seriously, though, all joking aside, you know, words mean a lot. Women are more emotional than men, and for the most part, and sometimes the way you say something, you know, can send a message. Don't make her bitter. Okay, good? Number 3, 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Okay? How many of you have china and crystal and silver dishes at home? Anybody? Okay. Do you use them every day? And where do you keep them when you're not using them? stored in a cupboard, you know, they're sometimes they're wrapped, right? In our home, we have a china closet, and it has glass on it, and probably in our whole married life together, Sandy's father, when we were married, bought us a set of china and some crystal glasses. And when my aunt passed away, the family gave Sandy her silverware. And probably in our married life, our almost 40 years together, we've probably broke that all that stuff out about 10 times, right? Special, special stuff. It's delicate, you know. My wife has a precious moment collection that is in a curio cabinet, you know, so when Noah comes over, he's not playing with them, you know. And, you know, these things are precious. They're valuable. They're fragile, okay? Now, with this knowledge that the wife is the weaker vessel, guys, we're to treat our wives as the weaker vessel. Now, this doesn't mean necessarily strength, but it does have that as part of the meaning, but it means special and precious. It ought to be the goal of every husband to take some of the load off his fragile wife and not add extra weight to her fragility. Now, a lot of times we do that. When we don't do what we're supposed to do, we're adding more weight onto our fragile wife. Now, I know we live in a politically correct world, and this is women, you know, politically correct women and feminists would not agree with anything I'm about to say here. But women are fragile. Women can't do everything men can do. Women shouldn't do everything that men can do. It's a sad, sad, sad thing when a nation sends its sons home from war in a coffin. I think it's a tragic thing when they send their daughters home in a coffin. I don't think women should be fighting wars, okay? I don't think women, here we go, I'm going to get myself in trouble. I don't think women should be police officers. I don't think we should send 120-pound women into a situation where there's a, you know, 200-pound drug-crazed lunatic on the other side of the door. They're fragile, okay? And guys, okay, that's extreme, but what about in the home? When we don't do what we're supposed to do, we add weight on our fragile wives. And what happens sometimes to things that are fragile? They what? Break. And sometimes they break. We're not talking about physical bones here, but, you know, So we have to make sure we take the load off of our wives by doing what we as husbands are supposed to do. Notice the warning that is attached to this verse, that your prayers be not hindered. God takes this matter very seriously. And this verse points out an inequality of strength. Notice it says, likewise, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. So it points out the inequality, but it also points out the equality. We're heirs what? Together of the grace of life. So as God sees us in the spiritual realm, there is no difference. We're all one in Christ. What does Paul say? He says there's neither bond nor free, male nor female, Jew nor Gentile. We're all one in Christ. But we have a role. And a lot of times, guys, because this is the makeup of a woman, when we don't do our part, who does our part so often? The wife, right? You know, sometimes we joke about the honey-do list. You know, the honey-do list is really long. Because why? Because we don't do the things on the honey-do list. And we need to make sure that we do, you know, our part. We need to do our part as loving our wives and making sure we're the type of leader. Okay, any questions on 1 Peter 3? Yes, up there in the balcony. We're going to talk about that right now. but, you know, I think the first thing, you know, to answer that question, the first thing is to take the lead spiritually. When the husband doesn't take the lead spiritually, that puts a lot of weight on the wife, you know. We need to do that. But let's answer that question and look at the next point in our the practice of loving. So, you know, these are stated in the positive. So to answer Pastor Andrew's question, you know, we can put these in the negative. Okay, these are ways for me to love my wife and to make her feel loved. And not adding extra weight on. By not doing this, what do? I add weight. You know? Guys, you know, sometimes wives need just some assurance. You know? Just some words of assurance. Just a simple box of chocolate. Just a simple whatever, you know? Just a simple telephone call or text. You know, hey, I love you. You know? I just called to say I love you. You know, just out of the blue. After she gets up, you know, off the floor, but no. But, you know, these go a long way. These go a long way. So 12 ways a husband can make his wife feel loved. There's more than 12. This is just what I came up with. First, let your wife know she's loved, needed, and appreciated. Tell her. Don't assume that she thinks you know this. Tell her, hey, I love you. Hey, you know, I really need you. You complete me. I appreciate you. Hey, that was the best meal I ever had. That was even better than Mom's. You know? So let your wife know she's loved, she's needed, she's appreciated. Number two, don't tell her faults to others. We saw this also with the wife not telling other people their husband's faults, but don't tell other people your wife's fault. Okay? We all know that our wives have faults, and we all know that we have faults. That's life. Okay? We all know that. But no one else needs to know that, okay? It's not their business. Listen, yes. Well, I mean, it depends how you phrase it. And it depends who you're talking to. And there probably are some things that our wives struggle with that, even though we might want, just better not being said. You pray about it. You pray about it together. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying, of course, if your wife is sick or something like that. But, you know, if you guys are struggling in the relationship of submitting, you know, don't, you know, hey, my wife doesn't submit. You know, pray for her. You know, so, yeah. You know, I mean, so, and there may be times the wife, with her struggle, goes to another room. But that's her initiative to do that. You know, don't tell her faults to other people. Listen to her. Just because you're the leader doesn't mean you can't listen to her. Good leaders delegate authority. Listen to your wife. Guys, we don't tend too often to think emotionally. We think more factually. And sometimes it's real important to bring some emotion into the conversation. You know, did you ever think how that would make them feel when you say that? No, I never did. You know? And so listen to her. Respect her opinion and discuss things, okay? The final decision is yours, men, but respect her opinion and discuss things. You know, why should we do it that way? Why shouldn't we do it that way? You know, discuss things. There's nothing wrong with talking things out. You know, this idea of men, you know, leading doesn't mean that the wife is silent. Submissive doesn't mean silent, okay? Respect her concern for the home. Women like the feminine touch in the home, right? Guys, I mean this, I'm not being disrespectful to my wife or anything. I could care less what color anything is. I really don't care. I could care less if the living room was white, blue, red. I don't care. And so respect her, you know, her care and concern for the home. She wants the home clean. When people come, you know, to visit the house, that they want it clean. And sometimes, you know, we put weight on the wife. Hey, don't forget, didn't I tell you that tonight, you know, I invited all the deacons to the house for dinner? No. Well, you better get helping her, you know, clean up and whatever. You know, respect her concern for the home. Consider her emotional nature. Remember, she's the weaker vessel. Okay. And as speaking as a man with 39 years of wedded experience, you know, women go through emotional changes in a course of 39 years. And sometimes things are good, and sometimes women cry for no reason. No reason. Why are you crying? I don't know. You know, the answer is, well, build a bridge and get over it, will you? You know, the answer is, remember, she's a weaker vessel. Help her. Help her through what she's going through. Maybe you won't be able to help her, but just sitting with her and hugging her and talking with her goes a long way. Goes a long way, you know. And while you're doing that, don't keep looking at your watch. Patriots are on. Are you over this yet? You know, Don't be like that. Consider her emotional nature. Here's a biggie, and I think for us, this is probably number one. Take the lead in spiritual things. The husband is the leader of spiritual things in the home. That doesn't mean the wife can't do anything that way, but you know, maybe you homeschool your kids and the husband is at work. You know, and the wife is teaching the Bible to the kids, you know, through the curriculum and things like that. But it's the father, it's the husband who takes the lead in spiritual things in the home. And when that is not the case, things are out of order. And that puts more pressure on the wife. And that puts her in a role that she was not meant to be in, okay? And let him take the lead in spiritual things. If you do not have a saved husband, he's not going to take the lead in spiritual things, you know, and you still need to revere him and respect his position in the home. And as long as he does not stop you from going to church and bring the kids to church, then that becomes, you know, something you have to do. But that can be difficult, you know. Take the lead in spiritual things. Pray for your wife. Pray for your wife. In your prayer time, you should be praying for your wife. You know your wife better than anybody else does. Pray for her. You know her needs. You know her where she's lacking, where she needs help. You know her strength. Pray for her. Help your wife. Help your wife. I remember when I was a new father, my uncle, Frank, he took me aside and he said, let me give you some advice. I says, okay. He says, this is how you get out of changing diapers. I says, all right. He says, just the first few, mess it up really bad. Just really mess it up bad. She'll never ask you to change diapers again. Didn't work. It didn't work. But anyway, seriously, help her. Help her with the kids. A lot of times we see, you know, moms coming in with kids hanging all over them and all the Bibles, and here comes dad, you know, and sipping his coffee. You know, help. Help her. Remember, she's a weaker vessel. Don't add to her burden. All right? Take the lead in family discipline. Okay? Sometimes something may come up. Mom needs to deal with something. But dad, you are the disciplinarian of the family. You are the one who needs to take the lead in that. I cannot tell you how many times growing up I heard, wait until your father gets home. You know, and take the lead. That's our responsibility. Be thankful for what she does and is. Okay, be thankful. Let her know you're thankful. You know, again, for no reason at all. It's not your anniversary. It's not her birthday. Get her something. Do something for her. You know, buy a gun for her. Really? If she's into that. No, I'm just teasing. But do something for her. You know what she likes and does. And then be a happy husband. Be a happy husband. You know, what do we always say? Happy wife, happy life. Right? Don't we always say that? What do the wives say about the husbands? You know, I don't, but be happy. Be a happy husband. Let your wife know you're happy to be married to her. You know, and you're glad she's your wife. Any questions or thoughts on these? These are just 12 random things. There's probably a lot more. Okay, Mr. Up in the...